This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Another break. Rofe Hintz moving in. A 360. Waits for some help. That shot. Score! Robertson off the trap from Hintz. Right on cue. The top line strikes again. 2-0 Dallas.
Stars open with the season opening win over Nashville on ESPN Plus. Good morning, Metroplex. Happy Friday. Going to try to get you to the weekend as quickly as possible. Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys Insider Bobby Belt. We got Pepe and birthday girl Caitlin in the back, number 22.
22. I wished her happy birthday. I handed her a breakfast sandwich, and then I didn't hand one to Peyton.
Good. And I love that Pepe can now feel old back there, like he always shames us for being. What are you, 28 or 29?
28.
All right.
I mean, yeah, you're basically dead.
Oh. 28 versus 22.
I did end up, I cowered, though. I did, after trying to teach him a lesson for 2 minutes, I did then give him a sandwich.
You gave him a sandwich.
Yeah.
How many bites have you taken?
It's halfway gone.
Halfway.
We're halfway there.
Did you eat
your halfway or normal halfway?
Normal halfway.
Bobby was offended yesterday. The steak, egg, and cheese that he brought in, Pepe only took 2 bites. Did you eventually finish the bagel sandwich yesterday?
Nope, I did not. I handed it off to Alec. He said, I don't want this. And
You handed it off half eaten?
Yeah. We're bros up here. Come on.
It's all right.
It's fine.
That's
for somebody who's
I shared a dessert
with
Elf.
Well, that was 2 spoons.
It was 2 spoons. Yeah, we had separate spoons.
Okay.
Same ice cream and brownie.
He could have bit from the other side.
I think that's a no-no. That's a man car violation.
Really?
Nasty no-no.
Especially with that mustache, stuff gets caught in there, and then he's biting down and leaving mustache residue all throughout there.
But that's more reason for you not to bring him anymore. Wasting money.
I didn't realize he didn't finish it. I thought he still finished it, so okay. All right.
I've told Bobby before, just text me when you're getting food. I'll tell you yes or no if I want any.
Oh, text him.
Left my food like he leaves McKenzie unfinished.
Text him.
God.
Text him beforehand. Go ahead and do that that extra service. You're flirting too much with Danger.
All right. It's Friday. Sorry.
You're talking way too much in commercial breaks. You're flirting with a little bit too much. All right. I got to read this professional hockey recap from Gavin Spittle that made me so proud this morning. Similar to the goalposts that Vanderbilt grabbed after the Alabama win, someone needs to grab the post from the Predators arena, as that was the Stars' best friend. Nashville hit at least 4 posts, 2 in the final few minutes as the Stars held them all 4-3. They pick up 2 points. Ottinger deserves credit. He stopped 33 of 36. Preds had 6 power plays and only scored once. Stars were beaten in shots, faceoff wins, hits, block shots, but not on the final score sheet. Mason Marchment, 2 scores. Stanky had 3 assists. Stars try to clean things up even more tomorrow as they go back to back at home. Islanders, then Seattle this weekend. Full breakdown and more of that creativity with the Vanderbilt Go Posts with Spits and Suds right now on Odyssey or wherever your favorite podcasts are found.
Spits and Suds.
That's a high bar to start to begin the season with Spittle's Hockey Recap.
Yeah, he hooked you instantly as soon as he made the Vandy reference. And fitting, because obviously it's in Nashville, it is a nice tight tie. I like the reference, and it clearly hooked you. He knew how to get to your heart, Sean.
All right. Also last night, the debut of Klay Thompson as a Dallas Maverick. He hit his first three. He ends up with 10 points, 3 assists on 3 of 9 shooting, 3 of 5 from 3. So every single made shot was from distance, and Klay was giddy as a kid on the first day of school after.
That was a great time. I was nervous for like 4 days, so I haven't been that nervous, I don't think, since the 2015 finals game one. So it felt so good just to get out there and play and work those jitters out, because it was a new experience, and it's a natural feeling when you've been somewhere so long to be somewhere new in a new environment. And finally put the uniform on, it felt amazing.
Were you surprised to feel nervous in the lead up to this?
Not really. I mean, it's human nature. When you're somewhere for so long, you're probably familiar with that environment. So after a decade plus of being there and now being here, it literally felt like my rookie season all over again. I'll never forget my first preseason game my rookie year, and I was equally as nervous. So it felt awesome just to play 18 minutes and get my legs under me.
I love this dude so much. I love his answers. He's just different in the press conferences. 2015, game one of the NBA Finals, the last time he felt these nerves.
A long time ago.
That's how big our preseason games are, baby.
Dude, I'll tell you. We recorded our BetQL show yesterday.
Well.
And John Martin, one of the guys, he's from Memphis. He was betting preseason NBA last night. I was like, what do you, what do we got for tonight? I was asking what they get. He's like, I got Pacers -5. And I'm like, wait a second. Their season starting today? It's preseason.
Wow.
He degenerate. What a degenerate. I think he won, too. He covered. Good for him.
All right, Chop. Get us set for tomorrow at the Cotton Bowl.
All right. So it is the OU-Texas game. Texas OU. But, you know, usually you give it to whoever won the last one. So this would be OU-Texas. Next year will be Texas OU because Texas is going to win this game. They're just a better team. But interestingly enough,
What's the spread?
It's like 15.
Not enough.
Kind of like my Vandy Kentucky spread.
Yeah,
13.5.
Interestingly enough, the last two times Texas has been ranked, Texas has been the higher ranked team, they've lost this game. It's weird. This game brings out some weird, where like the team that is higher ranked has no business losing, and they lose. OU's won 5 of 6, but there will be history made in this as the quarterback for Oklahoma is the first ever true freshman to start this game for OU. It's Michael Hawkins Jr. He came in. This will just be his second actual start. He came in at halftime of the Tennessee game, and he did, like, you know, they kind of stabilized things. Then he goes down to Auburn, and they were down 21-10. They were down 2 scores. You know, come back. Now, some of that was an interception that was returned. But still, he's from DFW. He went to Allen, then he went to a Frisco school. He was actually coached by Kyler Murray's dad. Kyler Murray's dad at some point, kind of coached him up, and then he went to 940 Elite, which is in Denton. It's a 7-on-7 program. So it's all setting up to be a fun one. And they've changed the game time. Usually it's 11 a.m., right?
Yeah, this will be a little bit later in the day. Michael Hawkins is going to be without his top receiver, though, there in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. Deion Burks is going to be out for this game, and he leads in every single receiving category for them. Not very impressive, because Oklahoma's offense isn't very impressive, so like 200 yards through 5-6 weeks, whatever it is now for Oklahoma. It's not that great, but Deion Burks being out in this one is going to be a big deal for Oklahoma.
When do you get nervous about this game as a Texas fan? How often does this game go awry?
Last year sucked, because last year we're on the Cowboys charter getting ready to leave, and we're all watching it on cell phones before takeoff, and like, please have this game end before we're up in the air and can't see it during that 10,000 climb.
That was a crazy ending.
And yeah, it's everybody was pretty sure Texas had it, and then Oklahoma goes down the field and they're driving, and when they score that touchdown, you just hear from the back here, and it's CeeDee Lamb like running up and down the aisle, and then when he comes back down, he goes, so sorry, Texas fans, so sorry. And he was just, that made it so much worse. But no, this is typically the ones where I don't feel nervous are the ones where I probably should have felt nervous, and then they end up losing.
Yeah.
And this is what I don't feel nervous about, so it's probably going to go poorly.
And if Oklahoma ends up winning, I'll be rooting, or I'll be happy for them because of our guy Carter Freeman, who has been out here as of late, diehard Oklahoma fan. It is the first head-to-head SEC meeting, top 25 matchup for the sixth time in 8 games. The Sooners scored with 15 seconds left last year to give the Longhorns their only regular season loss, both teams coming off of open dates.
Yes, so it's all, this is the first year of the 2-ish, 2:30 start?
I don't think in history, but it's the first one that we've had
in recently.
For, it's always been like 11 o'clock start. It's always been early.
What's this Bosworth audio?
Okay, so Brian Bosworth and Quinn Ewers are doing a Dr. Pepper commercial together. All right, so Bosworth has got this thing. Every year he does a commercial, and every year it's with a different person. For Dr. Pepper. And this year they had to trick him to get him to actually do the commercial.
Because they didn't tell me Quinn was my deputy until we got, you know, to the set. And I said, so who's the guy? Because every year, the last two or three years, they brought a new guy on. And they didn't tell me this year, probably because I would say, no, hell no, I'm not doing that. but when they said, it's Quinn Ewers and he wants to meet me, I said, all right, tell him I'm outside his trailer. And when he walks out, tell him don't look anywhere but straight ahead, and I'll be coming from one side or the other, but I won't let him know. He'll hear me. But we had fun together. It was a great great opportunity. He's a great kid, a great competitor. But, yeah, and it took all I could to, you know, be nice to him for the first few minutes, and then I realized, man, he's too nice a kid not to be nice. He's like every other athlete. They all have great passion, and they all have a great desire to be great at what they do. They wouldn't put the work in if they didn't, but, you know, I just wish he was wearing crimson and green, you know, not burnt orange. Who wants to wear burnt orange? There's nothing in the closet that goes with anything orange, burnt or otherwise. I don't own anything orange in my house, so I don't know why anybody would wear burnt orange.
How many times have y'all been to this game? How crazy is it? Is it worth the madhouse? And what will the split be in colors?
It'd be 50-50.
Oh, yeah, it's 50-50. 50-50. It is one side, It's split right down the middle. And it's awesome. I've been once. It's been forever. It was, unfortunately, it was that Roy Williams game. It was the Superman
14-3?
Play. 14-3? It was the Superman play game.
0-1?
Yep, wow. Which is, that's the only time. And
you were 12.
I don't want to go out there and experience the whole, like, madhouse of the fair is the biggest thing. I want to go to the game, but.
Pepe, how many times have you been?
Zero. I've never.
In your whole life?
Yeah, I thought about
it. I'm a Texas fan.
Well, if tickets weren't $800, and then, yeah, but like Bobby said, the state fair crowd just makes it unbearable.
And you?
No.
Never.
No desire. I don't like split crowd games. Okay. I've been to enough of them. I like the atmosphere of a home game. I don't like neutral. So like the cocktail party in Jacksonville, the Florida, Georgia. I don't really have any interest.
The New York Jets demoted Nathaniel Hackett, so he is not totally saved by Aaron Rodgers, but Jeff Ulbrich, the promoted defensive coordinator, has made Todd Downing, former Titans OC. A lot of Titans offensive people getting jobs around the league.
Seems very odd.
Can't figure out why with that boring-ass franchise that they have there in Tennessee, but Nathaniel Hackett demoted.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'm you tell me, Sean. You usually bring me back down to earth and tell me, no, you're being stupid. You're being conspiracy theorist. This is dumb. I think that this is a phony demotion where Rodgers calls everything at the line as it is to begin with. And that mainly this is about is like, hey, this will make it look like Aaron's not totally in charge. Because if it was really Aaron's not totally in charge, you would have fired him. Or he would have lost his title of offensive coordinator. He's not. He's keeping the title, and he's just not calling plays or making the game plan. He's keeping the title offensive coordinator. He's just not calling the plays or making final decisions related to the game plan. Well, Aaron Rodgers calls the plays, basically, and we won't know if he's really making the calls with the game plan. So my conspiracy theory is that this is just meant to appease people who think Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a say.
I can get behind it. Yes. I believe in that one. They play Monday night hosting Buffalo. The over-under is 40.5.
Whoa. They think it'll be 41-0 Buffalo?
That's low. That's low. Yeah, I mean, look.
The other games that have lower unders, Steelers Raiders is 36.5. Chargers Broncos is 35.5. Texans Patriots is 37.5.
Ooh.
Those are the sub 40 over unders for the weekend.
It's a lot of sub 40 over unders for good weather and not week one. Like we're talking, offenses should be clicking by now. The weather is still perfect, and that's a lot of low totals. You know, I get it from a perception and optics standpoint, but like you would think, like firing Saleh was like that was the whole point. That was the whole point. That was going to fix it. We're going to fire Robert Saleh. You know, you should have just fired Hackett first.
How did we get through this whole segment, Sean, without talking about the top story on ESPN's front page?
Hang on, let's see. Because
the Minnesota Lynx win game one of the WNBA Finals, 95-93, overtime. Maybe the greatest game in WNBA history. Coming back down from 15 in the final 5 minutes. First such game in WNBA history. More and more history just stacking up. What a year, gentlemen.
Bobby has the referee report for Sunday, Cowboys-Lions, and RJ has a Dak versus Goff fact or fiction to get you ready for the big game right here on The Fan. That's next on the commercial-free expressway. But
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP,
you deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Good morning, Metroplex. Happy Friday to y'all. Hopefully I see you out at the State Fair later today.
Oh, you're braving the elements and the crowds?
And I'm taking Ollie.
Ooh.
Taking all four, baby. Although yesterday I took Ava for a walk after the show, and all I could think of, because when I'm driving home, I'm like, oh, it feels nice. When I wake up, I'm like, it's cool, it's nice, it might be crisp. Then I leave the building and I'm like, oh, it's still nice. There's a breeze. And then when I eventually get outside at like 11:15 with the baby, I'm like, man, this is going to be the concrete at the State Fair. Something has to be off. And I need to check the PSI in the concrete or the cement out there because there's something that makes it that much hotter. And that's all I could think of yesterday while walking Ava. This is going to suck. This is going to suck with this sun out there at the fair.
It's nice until, yeah, once the sun's been up for like an hour, it feels like the temperature jumps like 20 degrees around this time of year.
It's generally how it works, yeah.
20 degrees, not that quick usually.
It's high.
Today's high is 92, 96 tomorrow, 98 on Sunday, and then finally a break Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 86, 88, 84, 83.
We're going to get 100 degrees in the middle of October.
It sucks. The two worst things about here is the heat that just sustains and then the allergies. Like when I went to Nashville, my allergies were gone. As soon as I come back here, this is awful.
It's
terrible. I'm getting my ass kicked.
The heat's oppressive, but then when it gets to like the wintertime, the wind doesn't stop. Like, yeah, you get sick of the heat at some point.
Dude, I just want a fall, okay?
About to get it.
I'm tired of, for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking about getting like a screen door to be able to just keep it open.
Yeah.
There's not enough time here in Texas to just keep your screen door open with your sliding door back.
No, because by the time it's cool enough, then the wind picks up and then all the everything's blowing around your house.
We're windier on average than Chicago. Dallas is.
Really? Actually.
Yep. The whole windy city thing just comes from the way it whips over the lake, apparently.
Speaking of weather, we should mention this because we covered it a lot yesterday. It sounds like it could have been worse with Milton. Could have been a lot worse. Yeah. All the coverage I saw yesterday was, yes, unfortunately, you had deaths. I thought I saw 8 at last count yesterday, but it sounded like, I don't want to say lucky, but it wasn't as bad as people were anticipating.
Right. From a death toll standpoint, Helene was had about 200.
Yeah.
So knock on wood that there wasn't nearly as much with this one because once it hit landfall, it had really dropped.
Yeah.
And the thing with Helene is that she had so much rain that went over 5 states.
Yeah, and flooding and different things like that. Like, I think even a lot of those deaths, I think a lot of those were related to tornadoes. It wasn't even, like, directly from the hurricane impact or the flooding like Helene had dealt with.
All right, we're going to pick the Cowboy game with the official selections at 8 o'clock this morning. But, Bobby, you got the referee homework?
Yep, the NFL refs have been announced for this week. The Cowboys get John Hussey. Don't let his name fool you. He's not going to just give it up. He is stingy with the penalty flags. He throws the second fewest in the NFL so far this year, but it's always good to look and see which penalties do the crews really emphasize, because that'll show you some stuff. We were sitting in here for the pregame show a few weeks back. I think it was the Giants game. And Brian, after looking at some things, it said, watch out for 12 men on the field. And like a little bit like, I mean, 12 men on the field, that's just do 12 guys get in there. But a lot of different times with the way the game's called or the way that things happen, you find that more penalties are more likely to happen or certain penalties are likely to happen. Brian said that, and then what do you know? There was a 12 men in the huddle call on the Cowboys in that game, and Brian had nailed it. So the two areas where you need to watch out, even though he's thrown the second fewest flags in the NFL, his crew has thrown the most unnecessary roughness penalties in the NFL.
Mm.
So any sort of after-the-play chippiness or frustration, that one's going to get you flagged with John Hussey. In fact, Brian had a theory that I thought was interesting. He thinks that due to him throwing so few flags, you're going to get players that get chippy and irritated and annoyed that they're not getting stuff called, and then that's going to lead to pushing and shoving, and that's probably why there are so many unnecessary roughness calls. But we talk about Terry and Arnold, and I think we've had it brought up by two different guests this week, not just that Dan Campbell's going to throw a pass to an offensive lineman, but that Terry and Arnold, the corner there, is one of the grabbiest, like, most physical players in the NFL, and he's still learning how to use his hands and what he can get away with.
If the Lions do that, okay, if they attempt to an offensive lineman and the Cowboys, like, break it up or intercept it, will McCarthy mention us in the post?
He should.
Will he be, or will he just be like, I got tipped off to this?
Look, if he remembers Deron Bland him dunking on you for Deron Bland, he better remember 72 hours later that like they tipped him off.
I'm praying that the Lions attempt this.
Yeah.
Because we scouted this. We scouted this week and passed it along to Coach. Will he pay it back?
You know what would be very Dan Campbell, though, is to grease the tracks with this.
And then not.
Make it look like he's going for an offensive line pass, and then it's like a Jared Goff draw because nobody's even.
By the way, is this a common thing in the NFL, the trick play revenge, or is this just the Dan Campbell thing? I don't remember ever talking about this before.
The Music City Miracle got worked on us, so the next time Buffalo and Tennessee play, you watch this flea flicker we pull out. you watch this lateral we do with the kickoff or the kick return. You know what I mean? I don't remember talking about this.
Revenge. But it's Dan Campbell. Like you it's like I think his persona and
like Belichick to me is petty. Dan Campbell's aggressive.
Dan's aggressive. Belichick though, what we would talk about with Belichick is the next time the Colts they played the Colts after was it Indy? Remember when Indy did the Deflategate thing? They're the ones that outed them. The next time they played, everyone was like, "Watch Belichick just run this thing up." Like that's what he would do, right?
That makes a little more sense to me.
Yeah, because Dan Campbell, he's not one typically I would think that would. I think it's right. It's usually aggressive. It's not necessarily projection. This is a man who covers his mouth at an Applebee's because he doesn't want people to know his order. And so typically, though, with him, he's
overrated commercials.
It is an overrated commercial. He's funny.
Yeah.
He's naturally like engaging and funny. But yeah, that could have been a lot better than it was.
But it's not like, oh, my God.
It's decent. It was not worth going like 3 million views on Twitter or whatever it ended up doing. But Terrion Arnold, this corner for the Lions, plays very physical. And he's been flagged like 8 times for defensive pass interference. This crew is about the stingiest in the NFL with pass interference calls. They've called 2 all year. And that is the second lowest in the NFL. They don't call defensive holding very much, very little illegal contact. So any sort of pushing, shoving, grabbiness that Terrion Arnold has not been able to get away with so far this year, this might be the crew that lets him do it a little bit. And so CeeDee Lamb might get a little frustrated. You might see CeeDee Lamb getting jammed and pulled on, and he gets frustrated, doesn't get a flag, and then he starts complaining, and he gets unnecessary roughness for hitting somebody, and you can say you were prepared.
Then you got to do it to them.
Yep.
All right, Chop, I like what you cooked up with a Dak Prescott versus Jared Goff fact or fiction.
All right, 2 of the more picked apart quarterbacks in the NFL over their careers. They just are. They're picked apart.
And picked off.
I want to see how much Bobby gives on this.
That's right.
He's showing a lot of quarterback growth and maturation, admitting being wrong here over the past week. Let's see if it continues.
I will say my number one quarterback in 2016 was Jared Goff, and number 2 was Dak Prescott. So,
oh, Dak was 2?
Yeah, that was my that was the first thing that anybody gave me any credit for was I had a first round grade.
Little message board on Dak. Write that on.
That's right. It's called Twitter. Hello, only a $1 billion company. Sean.
Doesn't exist.
It's a $1 billion company.
Literally is a $1 billion company.
I really like Dak as the second best quarterback. I really do.
All right. Let's compare Twitter impressions, Sean.
Whoa! Way to bring out the hammer.
All right. So, here we go.
I
thought
you were going to bring it when I told you in the break room.
Fact.
Yeah, what'd you grade him?
I don't know what you guys are talking about in that one.
Well, you weren't in the break room.
I was not.
When I walked back into and brought up to you.
Oh. Yes.
You know what I'm talking about?
Absolutely.
Are you faking me?
No, I do know what you're talking about.
All right,
about.
Let's go.
Fact or fiction.
Save it for the podcast.
You can't win a title with them.
You can't win a title with them. I'm going to say fiction.
It's complete fiction. I mean, we already know Goff was in the game. And if it's a one game, like, I mean, that's not an impossibility for him to be able to have that success. They should have beat the 49ers. He was in a game with the Rams against the Patriots that was close for a lot of it.
Who needs more help? Let me follow up with that.
Goff.
Who needs more help around him? Why do you say that so matter-of-factly?
Because Goff historically we've seen so many different things in terms of as good as he is right now, if you do not blitz him, if you don't give him a blitz or whatever, then typically if it's just dropping back defenders, like he can't, his numbers drop significantly.
I think I think Goff needs a better line.
Which he's got like arguably the best in football.
Yeah, I think he absolutely needs a better line. He doesn't move well. I think generally he's more on time as a thrower, gets the ball out quick, but I think he needs a better offensive line. Receivers, I don't know. I don't know who needs better receivers.
I'll say fiction. It can happen, but a lot has to happen right. around them to happen.
All right, next one. And this might be split. It might not be.
By the way, when we're talking about supporting cast, where does their GM rank in the league? And what's his background?
Brad Holmes is very good.
He drafted Goff in L.A. as the assistant.
Yeah, Brad Holmes is very good. He's a little petty.
Yeah.
Like he loves dunking on media, and he'll pull out receipts and, you know, what do I got here? What is this? I saw you reporters 2 years ago said we wouldn't win 8 games. Like he's that kind of guy, but he's a really good talent evaluator and aggressive. He will go all in. He will do it.
F them picks. He's comes from that school, right? That tree. Next one, fact or fiction. They are better than the guy they replaced.
It's fiction for Dak and Romo, and like it's a bigger battle to me with Stafford and Goff. I will say it's also fiction in Detroit. Fiction for both. Bobby, if you want to just take off the gloves, second time this week, we could be G-bag candidates. We could do it.
It is fact for both that they are better.
Oh,
on both of these, the Dak one's not even a question. Dak is better than Romo. Like if you just look over their careers and what they did, Dak is better. Like if you pull their top QBR seasons, everything else, Dak has been a better quarterback than Romo has been.
So, I don't care about all that. I'm not choppy with all that. Romo's later years, Dak Prescott, in my opinion. I don't think he will match the zone in which Tony was playing. And I'm not the biggest Tony fan. Plenty of choking. I believe in that. Plenty of coming up short. But Tony Romo will end up as closer to the Hall of Fame in that discussion than Dak Prescott. Tony's not going to get in. But if there were votes and they were both done playing, I believe Tony would get more votes.
Man, see, you got to look at it from what year was that, though, and everything. Like, he was 34. Like, Dak's still 3-4 years from being in that part of his career. Like, so to me, up through this point in their career, there's no question Dak has been better. So Dak's the easy one there. On the Goff front, who did he replace? Affluenza Jameis Winston? Like, that's who ended up, he went and got Matthew Stafford, who is one of the worst decision makers. Honestly, Matthew Stafford is Jameis Winston with slightly better decision making, slightly, but the same sort of irrational confidence.
Brett Favre was a bad decision maker, you could argue. Jared Goff didn't have to make decisions. He got Sean McVay in his ear 24/7. But you're saying it without hesitation. What is your answer to this? Sorry, I was making a Jared Goff insult with Matt Stafford, who now is McVay.
I think Stafford is
I bet this detonates. I want you to read the fan text on the Dak Romo thing. Again, Pete Rose type. Mount Rushmore sports talk topic here in the Metroplex.
People still get so mad about it. They will still drop Romo's name on the fan text in the middle of a Cowboys game.
This is tough. Look, Dak has Romo's ceiling was higher than Dak's, in my opinion. Like Romo's best game that he would play. I don't know that Dak would have done that Broncos game, that 51-48. I don't know. But I also think Dak's floor is higher. Like, Dak has a better bad game. Romo's, you know what I mean? Like, Romo would really have some of those that were just like, what is going on?
How many seasons in their first, what was it? Their first 8 seasons. How many years of a 70 QBR does Dak have?
Their first 8 seasons?
Yep.
3.
5.
Okay.
How many in their first 8 seasons for Romo did he have of a 70 QBR?
Well, QBR
3.
It goes back that far.
It does. Okay. Yep. One.
I mean, you're talking about like a guy who is very
okay,
like,
but I still get to include the end of his career and projecting right. What I think Dak will be. I still don't think Dak will ever play to the level Tony ended at. I'm not going to argue with you over the first like 5, 7, 8 years. I especially was not here to cover the beginning of Romo. You were, but. That's my take.
The beginning of it's very difficult to judge the beginning of Tony's career for one reason. We had just seen 6 years of garbage. Any functioning quarterback would have looked like Joe Montana.
Yeah, but we just saw a decade of garbage when Dak stepped in.
That's right.
What are they saying?
352 says, Bobby, quit being an effing idiot here. 214 says, Dak has had a better team than Romo had. Romo and Dak are the same from the 214. And 469, for once, I agree with Sean that Romo was better.
Yeah, let's look at this. The whole Dak had a better team than Romo did. I always love that. Romo literally had a historic number of Pro Bowl players that he was playing alongside in 07 before he went out there and completely essed the bed in a way that was much worse than Dak ever did. That 13 for 36 against the Giants, that is the worst game, big game we've seen from anybody. That I'll take however Dak and everybody else was playing against Green Bay last year than the way Romo played that day in 07 with the most stacked Cowboys roster they've ever had.
And that's why I think like there's a similarity here. Like I think Stafford and Romo have much higher ceilings than Goff and Dak do, like at their best. But they could throw some 13 for 36 games at you. And Goff and Dak, I think their floor is higher.
Look, the real answer to me is they're remarkably similar. Put up a lot of stats, got their playoff phobias, and have those reputations. But at the end, when they're both done playing, I think Romo will have more Hall of Fame votes and talk, but really good question. Dak and Goff, fact or fiction?
All right, next one. They are underrated.
Cowboys and Lions?
No, the quarterbacks.
Dak and Goff?
Dak and Goff are underrated players.
I think. Well, Dak gets a lot of hate, but I would lean more towards fact. I have underrated Goff.
They're cumulatively underrated. The people who like them generally overrate both of them. The people who dislike them
and Bobby Bell.
The people who dislike them generally talk way too negatively about what kind of players they are. So that's the only issue there is that cumulatively, what does that add up to? It adds up to probably underrated. But the rhetoric is when people like Dak or Goff, they're generally overhyping them probably. Mm-hmm. And when people dislike them, they're talking about them as if they're Deshaun Watson with the Browns this year. And that's what's absurd is how aggressive it goes one direction. The truth just is Goff and Dak are probably closer to the hyperbole because there's only so much higher you can go than what they already are, which is top 10-ish quarterbacks.
I think that's a really good way to put it.
Thank you. oh, Bobby's.
Because, yeah, I mean, they probably are underrated, but there are people that overrate them. Because the things they do well, I mean, Goff really does, he works the middle of the field well. He doesn't throw the ball outside the numbers at a elite rate. And, you know, Dak has he has the things that he does really, really well and the things that he can't do. So there's ways to over and underrate them both. But I think they're probably generally a little tick underrated.
Okay.
And then last one, they are the primary reason for their team's successes.
It's fact for Dak. What about for Goff and his whole team? Is the offensive line their primary reason? Is it the weapons the primary reason?
Yeah, I
think it's fact for Dak.
They're both teams are likely worse if you swap in another quarterback, but I don't know that Detroit goes by what they do in the trenches. I feel like Detroit now is a little bit like how the Cowboys were in 16, where Dak was a part of it and Dak was a contributor and Dak mattered. But at the end of the day, it was more about the way they were able to run the ball and limiting mistakes and the way they played in the trenches. Dak is primarily responsible, but Dak is also, because of how much gets put on his plate, Dak is also primarily responsible when they lose. Whereas when the Lions lose, I don't know how often Goff is responsible for that.
Okay, that's it. I think...
don't say it's another good point.
No, I...
Yeah, my head's big enough already. Detroit, his size 8 cap.
Detroit can win a playoff game.
Bob Bochy over here.
I think Detroit can win a playoff game if Doc... If
Rick Doc Walker?
Goff.
Did you stroke there?
Julius?
No, I put them together, Dak and Goff. If Goff has a C-plus game... I think Detroit can win a playoff. I don't think they can beat San Francisco. He needs to have like a B-plus game.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Cowboys can win a playoff game if Dak has a C-plus game.
No.
But that also speaks to Detroit's just a better team, offensively at least.
All right. One of your better segment ideas. Get that on the podcast. Josh, Clark, Pepe, and Caitlin. There it is. Commercial-free expressway here on the home of America's team. We'll make the official game picks at 8 o'clock. Let's clean it out.
Did you know that Benjamin Franklin invented the junk drawer?
Junk it!
Bobby, you have to start with the melatonin story. This hit my house hard yesterday.
This is one where when I read this, my first thought was you. I was like, I wonder how Sean is gonna handle this one, or how Sean would feel about this one. There are two teachers that have been placed on leave after allegations. This is in Spring, Texas. They've been placed on leave after giving students, quote, sleep-inducing stickers. So you say, what the hell is a sleep-inducing sticker? Well, this comes to us from Odyssey.com. Actually, Joe Kelly down the stairs at KRLD apparently
The old
wrote
Dodgers
this up.
Pitcher.
Well, and also our KRLD anchor now.
Isn't he still a pitcher? Or just a former Dodger?
I think he's a former Dodger. I don't think he's there anymore.
So the investigation started late Wednesday evening when Northgate Crossing Elementary, a school in Spring, Texas,
Joe North Kelly Houston, went back there.
He did, all right.
Yeah.
Announced that two of their preschool teachers had been placed on leave after they were accused of giving students special stickers believed to help with sleep. The issue came to light when a four-year-old student brought a medical patch home telling her mother it made her fall asleep. The mother, concerned, researched it because kid walks home and says, this sticker made me go to sleep. I'm probably going, okay, yeah. Sounds like you need to sleep some more. But researched it, discovered that the stickers were indeed sleep aid patches containing melatonin and are marketed towards adults. To be exact, they were Clova Z patches. They contain 3 milligrams of melatonin. Experts do not recommend any dose of melatonin before the age of 5. And they slapped them on these preschoolers because they wanted them to go to sleep. And this is bad.
This is felonious.
Felonious.
This is this is felony. And maybe I blow up your car.
Yeah, I was going to say, would you lose your mind on this one?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You're drugging my kid.
Yeah.
That's why I'm looking at it. Now, only I can drug my kid.
Right, absolutely.
Which I tried to do before a flight with Oliver once. It's like hitting. You can't hit him. I can hit him. Unless they're really bad, then maybe you can hit him. But no, you're drugging my kid. This got to be felony charges.
What is this?
Did you ever get spanked by a neighbor as a kid?
No.
I never did, but my dad always encouraged it. He always told me it was like,
I was on better behavior. Like, yeah. You know, I felt like my parents had taught me manners. I wasn't going to go and be worse at someone else's house.
Right, absolutely.
They were always more lenient than my parents were. So I was
plus
like,
I was
oh,
in the
wow.
country. I didn't have any neighbors.
It's like, oh, wow, I'm free. Yeah, you have no neighbors now with your spacious estate. Yeah. No one's even within half a mile of you. I would say that this is like
I send the dumb waiter over to get like sugar.
The dumb waiter.
Like if I
hey,
want,
what is that?
No,
it's it's not you serving tables.
No.
Oh, that's me.
He doesn't even know what it means.
I know, but you said dumb waiter. It's not you.
Oh, serving now you want to get on me? You want to get on me for berating and getting on Peyton? Shut up.
I haven't seen one of those in years. I mean, you got to go to like New York City to find one. They don't have those around here.
I will say that what else are you doing if you're a preschool? Like I can, if they're just going to sleep, I can stick a sleep aid sticker on them at home. And you're supposed to be teaching them things and helping them. I understand
everyone has nap time.
I understand there's nap time, but boy, how much did they just get pushed to the brink where they're like, hey, can you bring those sleep stickers from
that's
home?
That's why I can understand this. As a non-preschool teacher, but every time I walk into one of these schools, I'm like, how do y'all do this?
How?
This is my worst nightmare.
I don't know.
Are you kidding me?
They are.
The snot, the crap, the crying, the whining, the feeding, the diapers.
Oh, God.
No
way. Are you talking about my dad's hospice home?
Jeez.
Hey, Chop, man. If the Cowboys had the resolve of your pops, we'd have a Super Bowl by now.
Can't kill this guy.
You can't kill
him. He's hanging on for dear life, literally.
940 said, I would beat so much ass in that school, you're not going to drug my kid.
Yes.
214, melatonin has been linked to cancer in adolescence. I'd be very upset if that was
really?
My child.
Dude.
214, they're giving out Diddy stickies.
Sheesh. I'll tell you,
they're playing Bieber while they go to sleep.
Oh, my God. That melatonin's no joke, man. Like, I don't know if I should tell us or not. Sarah and she took some melatonin. We had a softball. We had like a softball game. We were playing in a co-ed team like a year ago. And we had a softball game the next day. And that night she was like, I can't fall asleep. And I was like, just take some melatonin. And I was like, here, take a couple of them. But I didn't realize they were 10 milligrams. I thought they were three. So I gave her like 3 10-milligram melatonins.
Sounds like you need that for your Switzerland flight.
I know, right? Her body did not work the next day.
Yeah.
She was trying to throw the softball, and it just went right in the ground. Like, direct, like, or the ball just flew out of her hand.
She's talking like Lou Holtz.
Yeah.
Shot.
I was like, I think we OD'd on melatonin here.
Wow. I didn't know there were melatonin stickers, but there you go. And what part of Texas was this?
Spring. This is just north of Houston.
So there's a guy in the building who we both know, the great Ari Temkin, okay? He's down the hall.
Works with Hot Roy.
Hot Roy, that's
great,
right.
Great nickname given to him by Sean.
So I walk into the restroom.
I don't know if I want that. My props for that, to like name the guy Hot Roy.
I walk into the restroom to the show, and I hear this. Go.
Oh, no.
And I walk around the corner, around the stall, and I get to the two urinals, and I see Ari there, and Ari is kind of bent over. He's got his, you know, out. And
you saw his rear end?
No. His.
Oh, yeah, you saw that?
No, I didn't see it. Oh. But you could tell the way his pants were folded and flopped over to the side. It's a very sad flop. You know, when your pants are flopped over, that's it's very, very sad. But I see the flop. And then I see him bend down and reach down into the urinal. He dropped his phone into the urinal. And it's the left one, the one that always floods.
Ew.
And he's like, I got to get a new phone case now. But he reaches in there, he grabs the phone. And this obviously would have been much worse than a porta potty. But
this is definitely the dirtiest device. You talk about hotel remote controls. You talk about other things that are in your hand. This thing right here. What percentage of Americans go to the bathroom without their phone? Now, I will say this. At the stand-up urinal, I do use it with a stand-up urinal. But if it's over a toilet, a public toilet,
yeah,
I don't really bring out my phone for that.
Right.
Out of the fear.
Yeah.
Out of the fear of the drop. What do you... I mean, you have to get rid of the phone.
I think you have to get rid of the phone.
You have to get rid of the
phone. There's no cleaning that phone.
No,
like that, a crevice. Anytime you like feel like a drop could come out of the speaker, like a little bit of wetness, you shake it.
Yeah.
What did you do? What did he do?
He just got a new phone case. He showed me the new phone case. He got a new phone case, but he did not get a new phone. As far as I wipe mine down every day.
Oh, you do?
With a Lysol wipe, because I'm like, I usually just go to the gym and it's all over the equipment. Or it's in the sauna, or I put it on the floor.
Taking pictures of your locker room in there.
Taking pictures of the locker, which I've been admonished for. But it's disgusting. It's a disgusting device.
That's gross. No coming back.
No,
that's Seinfeld toothbrush.
Yeah, if you like, I won't see. I was about to say with toothbrushes, I will. I tell everybody at the house, if you're gonna go number two in the bathroom, you better make sure that you put the toothbrushes back in the vanity. I'm not gonna have you soiling the air where our toothbrushes are.
Because of the air particles?
And because of the flush.
You're an idiot.
The flush sends a 10-foot spray into the air that is like invisible. It's an aerosol. Legitimately, look it up. It is one of the dirtiest reasons they say that we get sick off of toothbrushes from flushing the toilet repeatedly and getting germs in
there. That's only apartments that do that, Bobby.
Is that how?
It's not, jackass.
Is that how COVID spread, Bobby? Flush the toilet? That's what it was.
Yeah. From flushing bat water in the air or whatever.
Junk drawer continuing right here on 105.3 The Fan.
All right. Let's see here. Which way do we want to go with this? I think that you remember 2 weeks ago. It was actually a week ago Tuesday, so we're about 10 days out now. You remember I happened to show up late. It's a rarity for me.
Which one?
How are you fixing this, by the way? Every morning when I text you, you're already up. What are you doing?
I mean, I've set the alarms earlier. So because I'm setting the alarms earlier and there's like 10 of them, by the time the 8th goes off, it's still before 5 a.m. And then I was waking up at 5 a.m. previously. So now I'm waking up at like 4:40 every day and there's like 8 alarms going off in between. But I've also had so much anxiety about not waking up. I'm waking up before the alarms go off usually. Like I woke up last night at midnight and was trying to get ready for work and Kristen had to tell me it's midnight. And then I went back to sleep and then I woke up at 1:30, 3, 3:30 and 4. And so it's just constantly like thinking I'm late and jumping up and running around the house. But new research now shows that your brain activity can be influenced by behaviors from up to 2 weeks ago with potential long-term effects on attention, cognition, and memory. So short-term effects last less than a week, while long-term effects can persist for up to 15 days. So when I overslept last Tuesday, I might still be feeling effects on my memory, my cognition, my mood, all of those things Those might still be affected all the way up until next Wednesday. So you guys might have to deal with, like, when I pounded the table the other day and hurt my hand, that was in all likelihood because I woke up late last Tuesday.
Oh.
Is that, that's what it is. So they did all this research and they found that whenever people think, oh, I didn't get enough sleep or this or that happened, that that sort of thing, they believe, most people believe, okay, I'm bad for a day, but then I'll get a good night's sleep and I'll catch up and I'll be good. Like, no, it actually will impact your brain a lot of times up to 2 weeks later. Like, 2 weeks later, you're still feeling lingering effects from that.
Really?
Yep.
That's surprising. I saw a story about catching up from sleep, and it's like, yeah, you can actually do that on the weekends, and you're like from a rest standpoint, but it didn't mention anything about the impact it would have on your memory or your mood weeks down the road.
Good and bad. So they say a good workout and other positive things, those can also give you positive benefits for up to 15 days.
Junk drawer cleaning it out every Friday during the commercial-free expressway. Thank y'all for being Tolos. That stands for turn it on, leave it on. Who has the Cowboys pulling off the upset against the Lions? We need your official picks and why at 877-881-1053. Franklin Franco, injury attorney, text line for Cowboy predictions next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.